Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome into another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I am your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, Neil Stratton of Inside the League joins us for an NFL conversation. Neil and I made preseason picks. We both had the Raiders in the Super Bowl. That's not going to happen, so we take advantage of an opportunity to revise those, talk about the different races. We talk a little bit about some of the quarterbacks coming out in the draft. We'll get to that conversation in a minute. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. Highway 6 West in Oxford, it's the place to go for all of your weekend needs, your tailgating needs. You need a quick snack, want some lunch, breakfast, you can grab it all at the Oxford Crystal. It's right next door to the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Pick any five of your Crystal favorites, the Icy, Spicy Chick, the regular Crystal, fries, a pup, ice cream. Five for $5, mixed five for $5. They've got all the breakfast you can want. You're coming in this weekend before you spend the day in the Grove doing what it is that people do in the Grove. Make sure you grab some breakfast. Get that hash brown scrambler bowl combo. It includes sausage, gravy, eggs, cheese, and crispers. Served with a small coffee or and the small crispers there at Oxford Crystal. 79-cent crystals all day. 49-cent wings all weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Grab some wings. Grab court size sides from the Oxford Exxon. Grab some wings from the Oxford Crystal. Take that to the Grove. And then again on Sunday when you're recovering and you're watching some NFL, 49-cent wings all day. And if you have a craving for some pumpkin spice in your life here so close to Thanksgiving, you can do that as well. Pumpkin spice milkshake or hot cocoa there at the Oxford Crystal. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours. It's that simple. No haggling. Right to the bottom line. You're going to get your deal. It's up to you then. You can shop it or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. People have done it from Missouri to the coast, from Texas to Georgia, and all points in between. And then to make it even better, tell Corey you heard about it on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, and you get $500 off your deal at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. Now let's go to our interview with Neil Stratton of Inside the League on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. All right, Neil, it's been, I think, right before the NFL season was the last time you were on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I don't know how you made it through 9 weeks without visiting with us, but you did. Congratulations. Welcome back into the show. You can breathe a sigh of relief. You know that you're still a professional, man. You're back on the Beer Garden. Congrats.
Well, it hasn't been easy, Neil. I mean, long nights standing, staring at the phone, waiting for it to ring, and praise God it finally happened, Monday. So
yeah.
It's going to be a lot easier to live with my family to live with me now that we've done this. So thank you.
You're welcome. Your wife emailed and said, please, just relieve him of his burden. And I said, okay.
I told her not to do that. I hope you didn't think that I told her to. But
well, she said she did it all on her own, so I'll just take her word for it. all right, I'm going to start with this because I think this argument's kind of BS, but it happens every year, so you tell me whether I'm missing something. Is the parity in the NFL a bad thing, or is this just a conversation we always have mid-November in the NFL?
You know, Neil, do we have parity? We have an 8-1 team We have several 7-2 teams. We've got the Patriots, who to me are the clear class of the AFC. I mean, maybe the Steelers argue, the Chiefs are kind of falling. You've got, you know, the Eagles, and then maybe the Saints and the Rams a tick below them. I don't understand this parity thing. I mean, it doesn't make much sense to me.
I think it's
been on the other. Then you have the Browns, and you got the others on the other end. So anyway,
yeah, I think you have a lot of bad teams, and then I think what you have is you have matchups like this weekend where Baltimore goes to Green Bay, and the two teams combined are 9-9, and they're supposed to be good teams.
Right.
But there's injuries and stuff, and that's just part of football. They're also
right.
I don't know. I think what it is people watch it, and while there are good teams, we don't see dominant teams right now. Although I think there's a team that is beginning to play dominant football, and it's your New Orleans Saints.
I don't know how anyone could see the Bills game and not see domination. I mean, I don't want to give my skis here, but the Bills knew what was happening, what was coming, pretty much after mid-second quarter. Mid-second quarter. And they couldn't do anything about it. Now, in their infinite wisdom, they traded the only run stopper they have, Marcell Darius. They threw him away for a six-rounder. But when you know that they have Drew Brees, but they're not going to use him, and you stack the box and it doesn't matter, and they're still averaging 7 yards a carry, that's pretty impressive. Meanwhile, Tyrod Taylor threw for less than 70 yards, I think. And I'm not trying to say that Tyrod Taylor is, you know, Dan Fouts, but I think he's a good NFL quarterback, at least a solid NFL quarterback. They had nothing, no answer. And, you know, having been a Saints fan all my life, I've seen a lot of bad Saints teams, and I know the Saints have an unusual talent, capacity to blow it. But I don't see obvious flaws with this team outside of maybe special teams. Now, their special teams, they're weak. But where I think you build a team, offensive line, defensive line, they're solid. They've got a great running game. They are much improved in the secondary. They're serviceable as linebackers. They have linebackers in cover now. There are no obvious glaring, well, that's how you beat the Saints. I don't see it.
No, I'm with you. Now, we're going to go over some of your preseason picks at times during this episode of the Beer Garden.
Ouch.
And you missed a few.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
You missed a few, but you got a few right. You were...
Yeah.
You were on top of the NFC South. You had Saints, Panthers, Falcons, Bucks. It looks like it's going to shape out that way, although Carolina would probably raise their hand and say, hey, we're not out of this thing yet,
right,
fellas. Cam
Newton's, and they're not.
They're not, but the Saints look better than Carolina right now. They look like a better team today.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Saints still had the Rams in 2 weeks, and that's going to be on the road. And so, you know, we'll see who's who then. They also have the Panthers still. Now they get them at home, so that's going to be a benefit for them. Those are the two big, big tests they have left. Of course, they haven't played the Falcons yet either, so something will be said for the Falcons. I mean, the Falcons will have something to say about that. And I was really surprised that they had their way with the Cowboys last week. Even though it was in Atlanta. So the pieces are still in place in Atlanta. Why it hasn't happened, you know, the easy answer is Kyle Shanahan's gone, but I think there's more to it, and I'm not sure exactly what it is.
What do you make of the Rams? Jared Goff playing significantly better. Looks like a really good quarterback. Looks like a quarterback with a lot of potential. They've always been a good defensive team. They just look a lot has it just finally all come together for them?
Well, boy, it's tough. I haven't seen him play yet. And obviously Goff has been on fire. You know, I guess you have to credit Sean McVay. They don't have a drastically different roster than they did when he took over. You know, they had the running back Gurley, who's obviously very talented, and Goff was the number one pick in the draft. And so he's got a nice pedigree. But nothing that Goff did before this year predicted that this was going to happen. I think that Gurley has, he's been kind of up and down, but again, was he, did anyone say here's a guy that's going to be a dominant running back in 2017? I don't think so. I don't, you know, the offensive line and defensive line, they don't jump out to me. That's not true. The defensive line is very good, especially in the interior between Donald and Brockers. They've got a very good defensive line. But across the board, 1 through 53, I never thought about them having the kind of talent that would dictate a 7-2 start to the season.
All right, you mentioned the Eagles, the 8-1 team. Man, Carson Wentz looks the part. They look like a dominant team. I want to talk about your preseason prediction on the Eagles. It was not as good as your preseason prediction on the Saints.
Thank you. You're very kind to say it that way. I didn't think that Wentz was going to take this kind of step forward. Let me just say that in my defense. I didn't think he was going to step forward. I thought the running game had holes. I love their defensive line. I think Fletcher Cox is one of the more unsung super talented players in the league. I think they're solid in the secondary, but I didn't think they were dominant in the secondary, but they've, you know, their defense has played well as their offense. It's all happening for them right now.
Okay, but I look at this, and you're right. It's the only pick I got right the whole preseason. I kind of liked Philly. There's something about Wentz that I liked. Maybe it's just the quarterback's name. I have a son named Carson. His name's Carson. It might have been that simple.
Gotcha.
So I look at the NFC and tell me where I'm wrong as we approach the playoffs. We're still 7 weeks away, but the Eagles are going to win the East. It appears Minnesota will win the North. The Saints and the Panthers are playoff bound. The Rams are playoff bound. The Seahawks are probably playoff bound. I look at it, and if I'm the Saints, I'm feeling pretty good about things because I have a veteran quarterback who's played lots of playoff games, and there's a decent chance that both Jared Goff and Carson Wentz are going to be making their playoff debuts, which is not necessarily the kiss of death, but it's a different game in the playoffs, and a lot of times quarterbacks have to experience failure before they can experience success in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Minnesota doesn't have anybody at quarterback that terrifies me. Seattle's very good, but it looks like they won't have home field at this point.
Right.
If I'm the Saints, two questions. Is the fact that Drew Brees is my quarterback and we have experience, how big of a positive is that? And how imperative is it for New Orleans to have home field and not have to go play in some cold weather venue in January?
Well, let's take them one at a time. I mean, I've already kind of alluded to this, but the Saints pretty much put Drew in bubble wrap. They put him in bubble wrap this whole season so far. I mean, he's almost a bystander in this offense. What the dig you always have on run-oriented teams is, what if they fumble a punt? What if there's a pick six or something and they're down three touchdowns in the first half? They can't come back. Not true. I mean, the Saints have the ability to be explosive, or they can just run you down if you want to. And that's one thing that I think is really in their favor. And so I guess, yeah, I would say having a Drew Brees, who really is not the focal point of the offense right now, that's pretty big. I will say with one caveat, I still don't think they've worked out their passing game the way they need to. Having Willie Snead's been gone, so he's not running and he really hasn't been incorporated in the offense. So they don't have that kind of guy working between the numbers, the inside routes that they need, and they've had a little trouble on third down as a result of it. So I'll say that there's the one asterisk, I think, to the Saints. As far as playing indoors and at home, you know, before this year, the Superdome really wasn't much of an advantage for the Saints. I mean, they were getting torched as badly at home as they were on the road. And again, it wasn't like they were playing in a driving snowstorm, but they went into Buffalo, and I thought they may struggle because it's cold. But this team is built like a cold weather team. I mean, I hate it that every question you give me, I turn around as a Saints positive, but I right now, they think it looks like they have a lot going for them.
Right now, they look like a Super Bowl team, is what they look like.
I mean, they did in those first two games. I don't understand how you go from giving up, you know, nearly 100 points on the first two games to some good teams, but giving up, you know, nearly 100 points, going to Carolina and stomping them. And that's essentially what they did. So I don't know. I mean, what is it to turn the key? How did everything click suddenly? I don't know what the answer is, but they're winning pretty decisively. They're not just winning. They're winning pretty decisively. And if they can split with the Rams, beat the Panthers at home, if they can go on the road and beat the Rams, you've got them. That's a pretty strong argument for, you know, they could come away with the number one seed. I mean, if the Eagles stumble, they've got – it's still a competitive division, and I don't have the Eagles' schedule in front of me, but I think they have a couple games that might be tough for them. The Saints are just a game back. Again, I don't want to turn this into the Saints podcast, but they've got a pretty strong argument right now.
I'm looking for Philly's schedule as we speak. Here it is. They go at Dallas, Chicago. At home on Sunday the 26th. Here we go. I'm trying to pull the whole thing up. They at Seattle, at Los Angeles, at the Giants, at home against Oakland, and they finish at home against Dallas. So they have some losses in front of them.
So they get to play the Cowboys twice without Elliott.
Yeah.
So that's a benefit. That works out for them. They've got they still have the Giants on the schedule, right?
Yeah.
I think you said. Now, they've got a couple interesting road games, sounds like, but
they could go 13-3 easily.
Yeah, they could go 13-3. They really could. And now, you know, and I think, again, I don't have the Saints schedule in front of me. I mean, they've got the Redskins this weekend. That's a winnable game. They still have Tampa on the schedule. That's a winnable game. If they split with the Falcons, may beat the Rams even on the road. I think they've got a great chance at that. I don't know how that stacks up.
Here's the Saints the rest of the way. Washington goes there to New Orleans. Then they go to the Rams, come home to play the Panthers on December the 3rd. They turn around and do that quick turnaround at Atlanta December the 7th. At home against the Jets. At home against the Falcons, and they finish the season on New Year's Eve at Tampa.
So they're probably not the favorites against the Rams and against the Falcons. They're probably favored in every other game.
Probably those two, the two trips they could easily split those two. Now the quick turnaround's tough, but it's tough for both teams.
The Thursday game. That's in Atlanta or New Orleans?
It's in Atlanta.
Okay, so they probably are not favored in that game. But they're probably favored when they come back to New Orleans. So that's maybe two games where they're not the favorite the rest of the season.
Why does the NFL do those Thursday night games?
Probably in there.
I know it's TV, but come on.
The thing about the Thursday night games and why they're not going away, it's because the NFL, and I don't want to go down the whole take a knee road, but they're losing the blue-collar fan. But they are opening new frontiers and new money streams with everything they're doing with Twitter and Amazon and all those kind of things. And they got to have the Thursday night game to sell to them to, you know, put on broadband and what have you. So everyone can complain about the Thursday night games. They're not going away anytime soon because they've got a couple of new revenue streams to fight what they're losing. So I'm not high on Thursday night games. I don't know that anyone really is. But, you know, look at the NFL as a business. I don't think they're going to be changing that model anytime soon.
All right, we talked about the good teams in the NFC. Before we switch to the AFC and talk about some of those races, let's talk about a couple of the really bad teams in the NFC. One on a positive, actually like what Trubisky is doing in Chicago. I know they're 3-6, and this is a predictably non-postseason year. But if you're the Bears, have you seen enough from him to kind of feel good about your future?
I think so. I mean, he's doing it without any weapons. I mean, they picked up a wide receiver from the Chargers at the break, and he's like, I think he went for 100 yards almost last week. He doesn't really have anyone to throw to. I mean, everyone's stacking the box to stop their running game, and yet he's still making plays here and there. And I think that he's got a fire about him. I had my questions about Trubisky going into the season. I've seen enough to think that I think it was probably a good selection. And to me, looking at their talent, and we don't know what's going to happen the second half of the season, I think Pace keeps his job. I thought Pace was long gone after this season. But I think that they are starting to turn the corner talent-wise, and they played a lot of teams tough. I'll tell you, I think the Saints' toughest game since the first 2 weeks was against the Bears at home. A couple things go the wrong way, and they lose that game. So I think that Trubisky looks promising, and I think the Bears are probably over the hump, and maybe they're going to be a team that's starting to show playoff possibilities maybe next year.
We take a break from our interview with Neil Stratton to tell you that the podcast is brought to you by LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. It's the freshest cuts in Oxford. I had the bone-in ribeye again the other night. It's my favorite. They have great fillets. You can get bacon-wrapped fillets that are fantastic, melt in your mouth. It's Thanksgiving time. We're going to get Greg on, hopefully first part of next week, to get some cooking tips for you. It doesn't have to be turkey at Thanksgiving time. They've got great poultry from Joyce Farms, pork from Home Place Pastures in Como, seafood as well, fresh from the Gulf of Mexico. So all that as well. Some sausages would make a great appetizer at Thanksgiving time. Theirs are terrific. The ribeye sausage, the black and blue, the free-range chicken jalapeno, some of my favorites. You need to go in, check them out for yourself. There's a beer fridge on your left. Grab a six-pack. Tell Greg that you heard about it on the Beer Garden, and that six-pack is just $6. All right, here comes LB's trivia time. We talk about Eli Manning a little bit in the podcast. You'll hear about that in a minute. Who did Eli Manning replace as the starting quarterback for the Giants during the 2004 season? Who did Eli Manning replace as the starting quarterback for the Giants during the 2004 NFL season? Tweet your answer to me at Neil McCready, hashtag Beer Garden. Also include at Oxford Crystal in that. And I will get that to Greg at LB's Meat Market. $25 gift certificate for the first person who tweets that answer on Twitter. Tweet it to me, to Oxford Crystal, and to LB's Meat Market. That's your answer. Who did Eli Manning replace as the starting quarterback for the Giants during the 2004 season? The podcast is also brought to you by, the podcast is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, or more, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. Rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years. Loan amounts up to $100,000. Credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Rebel Grove .com subscribers and Oxford Crystal Beer Garden listeners. That's a $500 savings. Call him today. We're also brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All of the underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. So ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. It's J-L-O-W-E, J-Lowe at CommunityMTG.com. Now back to Neil Stratton of Inside the League on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. You probably cannot say the same thing about the New York Giants, 1-8. There's a lot of Ole Miss guys on that team, so there's a lot of Giants fans, quote, end quote, that are watching that team and scratching their head. Eli's not getting any younger. Evan Ingram's probably been their best offensive weapon, which is great for Evan. It's probably a knock that a rookie tight end comes in and is your best offensive player. Their offensive line's right. been awful. McAdoo's lost the locker room. That thing's going to get shook up at the end of this year, right? I mean, and when it does, here's my question. When they get through shaking it up, they're going to take a quarterback because it's time. Does Eli Manning finish his career in New York, or is this the offseason where he gets moved?
I don't think there's any way he finishes in New York. I mean, they got to start over at some point. I mean, I'll tell you, if the Saints season had gone the way everyone thought it was going to go, and it was going to be another 7 or 9 year, I really looked for Eli to come back to New Orleans and Drew to go somewhere else. I think that would make a lot of sense. It would be the one way that the Saints could have maybe kind of quelled the masses by bringing a Manning down if they lost Drew. As it is, I don't think that's going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen. But Manning's got to go somewhere. I know where he goes is anybody's guess. There are a lot of different places where that could be.
Give me some thoughts. Where would be some places where he'd fit?
Oh, boy. Well, how about the Vikings? I mean, are they sold on Bridgewater? I can't believe – I don't know that – I mean,
I
you
think.
Can't keep counting on Sam Bradford. Let's see. I don't know. I mean, I think the 49ers have brought somebody in, so they're probably all set. How about the Cardinals? I mean, I would be surprised if Carson Palmer comes back. But, you know, he probably comes in as the big brother, you know, because it's probably if someone has the firepower to pull it off, they trade for Eli and they take a quarterback in the first round.
And let him be the guy that's mentors for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he goes, yeah. I mean, there's other possibilities. I mean, we don't know what the Ravens are going to do with Flacco. Obviously, the Browns are always on the market for a quarterback. It's hard to say, but there'll be markets. I mean, the Broncos, how about be a good possibility?
Yeah, he's going to want to go someplace where he can win. He's not going to want to go to Cleveland or somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, if he gets to make that call. And I guess they'd probably let him. The big question in New York, I think, is how high did the firings go? I mean, I think that McAdoo is as good as gone, but do they get rid of Reese too? I mean, he's had some clunkers over the last few years, but everyone I talked to says he'll be snapped up immediately by another team if he gets let go.
How?
So,
I mean, the Eli Apple pick in the first round of the other, and I know the Tunsil thing is a hot button topic here. But Laremy Tunsil changes the game for the New York Giants, and they passed on him. They passed on some other offensive linemen to take Eli Apple.
Yeah. Eric Flowers really hasn't worked out for him. You know, they haven't had a really solid running game for a number of years. I don't know. All I can tell you is what people tell me, and he's still pretty widely respected. Now, the one thing about the Giants is they've got one of the most seasoned, shall we say, scouting staffs in the league. All right, they've got a lot of guys that have been doing it there for a long time. Maybe they clean house on the personnel side, akin to what the Saints did about 3 years ago. And maybe that's what they feel like, you know, maybe Reese just needs more guys on the ground that are more talented. I don't know. I mean, that's speculation. But Reese could stick around.
All right, let's talk some AFC. Shockingly, I know we're going to start with New England. They just keep doing it. Early in the year, I thought they kind of looked like maybe they had too many issues, too much rust. But now they're 7-2. They've got a 2-game lead in the AFC East. They are tied with Pittsburgh for the best record in the AFC. The playoffs could very easily go through Foxborough again. Is it just the fountain of youth, or is it Belichick is a genius, or both?
No, I think I think there's some cracks in the foundation. I'm not sure I'm sold on their offensive line. And listen, I haven't seen the Patriots, I think, but once maybe this year. But I think their offensive line has some issues, and if they can't protect Brady, obviously, then they're in trouble. I think their defense is still vulnerable. You know, the Patriots are in a division where they don't really get tested. I mean, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets twice each. That's a nice you got a great shot at 6 wins right there. So, I'm not sitting here trying to say the Patriots aren't a good team. They are certainly a good team, and I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. But I don't think they are invulnerable like they have been at times in the past.
So you think the Patriots, you said this, you've said it consistently, you think that's the Super Bowl team out of the AFC. If it's not them, who could it be? I mean, obviously Pittsburgh sitting there at 7-2, yeah, but they're a kind of, at least for me, sometimes a tough team to watch. Kansas City is 6-3. I live in the Titans market. I see the Titans more than I want to watch them. I watched the Titans a lot the other day against Cincinnati, and I know they won the game. But the Titans team that I saw on Sunday, and again, this was just one game sample size, is not winning a playoff game.
Yeah.
So who are the contenders?
I think the Titans are the playoff team.
No, they're,
you know, that's the thing.
The Titans are going to the playoffs, but they're not going to win a game.
Right, right. Well, I mean, your wild card teams are what, the Titans and the Chiefs? Or say the Titans and the Raiders, maybe? The Chiefs won the division?
I mean, I'm sitting here, you're looking at it. New England's going to win the East. Pittsburgh's going to win the North. Tennessee or Jacksonville's going to win the South. The other's probably headed towards a wild card. Kansas City is going to win the West. The Raiders have been a major disappointment because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, so you knew that would happen.
I did too.
Baltimore's 4-5. Buffalo's 5-4. So the wild cards are Jacksonville and some team that has – I mean, today the wild cards are Jacksonville and Buffalo. The AFC sucks.
Yeah. To me, that's not parity. I mean, the Patriots are way up top. The Steelers are a notch below them. I still like the Chiefs, even though they haven't come out for the second half the way they finished the first half. And then I don't see any teams that are really – I mean, yeah, I like the direction the Jaguars are going. I like the direction the Titans are going, but I don't – I'm with you. I don't see them any kind of lengthy playoff run. So, you know, I mean, if the Steelers can find a way to get to Tom Brady, you know, they've got a lot of firepower on offense. Maybe they can make it to Minnesota. I don't know. But those are the two teams, to me, far and away. Maybe the Chiefs are in that circle, but I'm still, you know, they've kind of stumbled a bit lately, and I'm still not sure about them.
So before the season, you had Green Bay beating the Raiders in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Breaking news, that's not going to happen. So you get a do-over here on November the 15th. You get a do-over, 9 weeks of some teams have played 10 games. Some teams have played 9. You get a do-over. Who is in the Super Bowl in Minneapolis in 2.5 months?
I'm going to say Eagles beat the Patriots. I know this is the theme of this has been how awesome the Saints are, but I still have a feeling that the Eagles get home field, and I'm not sure the Saints can beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship game in Philadelphia. I think it's possible, but I'm going to lean towards the Eagles right now because they're so hot and they're playing so well, and I think they can keep it going over the second half of the season, and they've got a lot of momentum. So that's what I'm saying. Eagles over Patriots. I think the Patriots have a couple issues that may make them a little vulnerable. I still think they're the class of the AFC. But that's what I go with right now.
All right, I'm going to use that as the transition into asking about some of these young quarterbacks that I want to get your thoughts on. Obviously, Philly is in this position because they went with Carson Wentz. He was their guy. There were people that criticized the pick. They said, no, he's our guy. We like him. He's going to get us to the playoffs. He's a franchise quarterback. When you have a chance to take one, you take one. So the draft's going to roll around like it always does. It'll be 3 months of buildup, so why not start in November? The guy that I'm starting to like more and more, and I know he doesn't check every NFL box. I get it. Talk me out of Baker Mayfield, the NFL quarterback.
I knew where you were coming. I knew what you were going to do. You know, boy, Mayfield is interesting. Here's the guy that walked on at Texas Tech. And then everyone, you know, and then here he's been in college, what, like 6 years now or something like that?
Yes, he's been in college for 5 years.
Senior quarterbacks, I mean, if you're really a truly talented quarterback, you don't make it to your senior year. You leave early. But, I mean, he has every quality characteristic that you want, every circumstance that goes against you as an NFL prospect quarterback. He's defied them all. I mean, he's not tall. He doesn't have a rocket arm. He didn't come out of high school on a pillar of flame like some of these guys do. He has been at two schools. It doesn't make any sense, but they've won. He's looked good doing it. We have former NFL scouts inside the league that watch games for us, and we watched him, have been watching him all year. And when my guy came out of the Oklahoma-Ohio State game, he loved Baker Mayfield. I said, hey, man, turn it down. This guy is a third rounder. Well, I think he's a first rounder now. I mean, he's eclipsed some of the guys who went into the season as the definite class of the class, like a Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State, like Lamar Jackson out of Louisville. Oh, there's a good chance he goes ahead of both of them. And I never would have said that going into this season.
Who's the top guy?
Pretty amazing.
Is it still Josh Rosen? Darnold's dropped a little bit too, right?
Yeah, Darnold's dropped, and he's threatened to stay in school if the Browns have the pick.
I can't blame him there.
Probably Rosen. Well, yeah. I think it's Rosen. I like Rosen. I don't love him. But by the time the hype fest starts rolling in January and we get to the draft, I mean, I could see him kind of separating from the pack because he's a quarterback and has put up crazy numbers and all those kind of things. Really hasn't had the team success that you'd like to see. But, you know, that's not necessarily a big enough detractor to separate him from the top pick. So I guess he's probably the top quarterback and probably goes number one. But, you know, there's a lot of non-football to be played in the draft season, and so many wild and woolly things happen when nobody's got pads on that decide these kind of things that I don't like to make these predictions in November because it's always, you know, so funny how all this happens, combine, all-star games, and what have you.
I joke about that, about him saying, hey, if Cleveland's going to take me, I'm going to stay in school, talking about Darnold, and I'm sure that Josh Rosen's people are probably going to have that conversation at some point, too. People will make fun of the player. I get it. People will criticize the player. At some point, don't we have to look at Cleveland and say, it's not them, it's me? If you're Cleveland, what is it about the Browns that make them the perennial polar opposite of the Patriots? I mean, no matter who they bring in there, it is a total disaster. No matter what they do with management, with personnel, with coaching, they lose. That's all they do. What is it about the Browns? It's a rabid fan base. They have some tradition. It's almost inexplicable to me. So can you in a couple of minutes make it make sense why they suck the way that they suck, to the point that a guy like Darnold or Rosen might say, you know what, I'm just not going to do it because it's you. I'm going to take out an insurance policy, and I'm going to stay in college. And some people will criticize me, but you know what? A lot of people won't.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting because when Jimmy Haslam came in and he bought the team, he had been with the Steelers, and he saw how the Steelers win and what they've done. You want to talk about stability. I mean, how long they've had, what, three head coaches in their history? their GM has been there for at least 10 years and maybe longer, and they've won, and they have a plan, and they don't, and they spend X amount of money, and they still do the draft, and they take that long view, and they're, you know, one of the model franchises as a result. And I think everyone thought, well, here's a guy that's going to come in and he's going to do the exact same thing. Well, he came in, he brought Holmgren in and didn't get immediate results. And I think when that happened, he said, well, we're going to keep trying until we figure that out. So he's brought in, you know, Hugh Jackson has had some head coaching experience, but not a lot. He's still kind of a newer head coach. Almost all the head coaches and GMs that he's had, and he's cycled through so many of them, were kind of learning on the job. But he only gives them 2 years, 3 years, whatever. So you've got so much rotation there and that no one can ever really figure out what they're trying to do. And by the way, they went in a really different kind of innovative, if you want to say it, direction on this with their most recent hires. And they're trying to kind of force the analytics in football. And I'm not saying there's no place for analytics in football, but it's a different game from baseball. It's not nearly as cut and dry. You can't measure, a combination block between an offensive line and a guard as neatly and cleanly as you can a line drive to center field. And they're, from what I'm told, they're going to take a match to the front office again in the offseason and probably come up with a new GM, and it may be someone that is learning on the job again, and who knows, they may get rid of Hugh Jackson and they might bring in someone else in new. And if you don't give these people a chance to learn and make their mistakes, or if you're going to go cheap, or you go expensive, kind of bring in another Holmgren type guy and let him build it, and they're you got to do one or the other. And I think that they've been so volatile over the last 5-6 years that they never have really had a chance to get out of their own way. Now, there's some pretty good GMs on the market now, Neil. John Dorsey's out there. Gettleman's out there. Do they bring in someone like that and say, hey, look, here's the franchise, make it happen, and I'm going to get out of your way? I think that would be smart, but I don't know if that's the direction they're going to go.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to talk about it. You're right. They're going to be on the clock, and nobody wants to go there unless they can get it fixed. But they're 0-9. They'll find a win somewhere, but they're a 1-15 team again.
Sure.
And you have to, if you're an organization, you've got to sit down and look in the mirror at some point, and you've got to address it. And I don't know how you go about doing that, but they're in a division where you ought to be able to rebuild a little bit with Baltimore and Cincinnati. But so far, it hasn't happened. All right, well, I will look forward to the Eagles and the Patriots in the Super Bowl, since you said that's going to happen. It's gospel. For the record, I think it's Saints Patriots.
Do you really?
I do.
Okay.
I think the Saints are a Super Bowl team.
I just had to go. I couldn't do it. Maybe I want to put a hex on the Eagles by picking, you know, because my initial picks worked out so well that. Yeah, maybe this is the best way to end their any chances of going to the Super Bowl.
Any games this weekend that are must watch? I know Titans at Steelers on Thursday night's actually a pretty good game. I'm just kind of looking through to see if there's anything that catches my eye. Patriots Raiders could be a good game. Eagles at Cowboys, Falcons Seahawks. Some pretty good games. Is there one that you want to make sure you watch other than your beloved Saints?
Well, I'll tell you, don't sleep on the Seahawks. I think Russell Wilson's having an awesome season. He'll be my midseason MVP, because without Russell Wilson, I think that team's dead. They have no running game. They have some playmakers on offense, but their offensive line is atrocious. And the only reason they're able to win and even hang around is because he can, you know, kind of make things happen with his legs. The second half of their season sets up pretty well for him. And if they can, you know, the Falcons are pretty much playing for the playoffs at this point. The playoffs have already begun for the Falcons, more or less. So that could be a real matchup there, you know, with a lot of intensity and some talented players as well.
All right, my man. Well, I will look forward to catching up with you towards the end of the year. Maybe we'll do a playoff preview once the field has been set, if you're willing. And look forward to talking to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone listening, and to you, Neil, of course, and looking forward to next time, man. Have a great rest of the day.
All right, you too, buddy. Bye. Our thanks to Neil Stratton for his time today on the podcast. The Beer Garden is also brought to you by Strategic Partners and Media. SPM is a full-service advertising agency that works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500 companies to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and different from other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out. The writing, production, and editing is done solely by their staff and crafted uniquely for their clients. Lastly, it's an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian and a great friend of our family of podcast and rebelgrove.com who is a partner in the firm. So give them a call. You'll see how great they are. Get in touch with them, austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. Again, that's austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish you want to catch. A popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time in their day is the inshore trip for speckled trout, for triple tail, sometimes called blackfish. Get in touch with John Fryer through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John 228-348-7817. And last but not least, the podcast brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. All right, that does it for today's podcast. Again, our thanks to Neil Stratton. I've got two beer gardens coming your way. Not sure which order they're going to come in. Talking to Taylor Zarzer of the SEC Network of XM Radio on Monday. Bring that one to you. We'll talk about all the craziness in college football, both on and off the field. And then we're going to talk to Greg Jones and Jonathan Howard. Get you ready for Thanksgiving. It's a big day. What to eat, what to drink, how to cook it, how to make it. We'll talk about all of those things on the Beer Garden in the next week. So in the event that this is the last one for the week, Happy week. Have a great weekend. And as you get ready for Thanksgiving, thanks for joining us today on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Until next time, take care.